Good afternoon, all. Hope you had a good week. Probably busy like everybody else's, right? Seems like you get busier and busier. Before I start, Mr. Barker wanted me to bring you an update on Sharon Neese. She did go home. She's doing better, but she's very weak yet, and need to continue to keep her in your prayers. But she is doing better, and she's glad to be home, of course. You're always glad to get back home. So, I take it that everyone is starting to examine themselves a little bit more, as we're only about 5 weeks away from God's Passover, which is for you and me, because He loves you and me. I love the last song that we were singing, because it tells how God loves you, 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 and me. And everything He's done is for our blessings. God wants to bless us so bad, and He wants us to be so happy, and He wants us to be so close to Him. And this is a time of year that we really examine ourselves, because you see, we made a contract. The day that we were baptized, we said, we want to be in your kingdom. We want to be like you. And if you think about it, it's amazing how excited we were. Do you remember? You would have done anything to be in God's family. Many people did. I remember a few years ago, if you remember Mary Howard, she was in the wheelchair, sat back, and I was finally getting a little bit better at my back, and I sat back with her at a table there for about a year. And I remember every week, Mary Howard reminded me of a little child. Because you know what she kept saying? I need to be baptized. I want to be baptized. And you know what she said to Mr. McCready when he came by? When can I be baptized? I'll bet he heard that for over a year. The lady was so excited about what she was learning, and she was up in years. And like she said, she'd been looking all her life, and God had finally let her see it. And she says, my next step is, I need to be baptized. And I was always just flabbergasted by, every week it was the same thing. And she'd hand me a note and says, you know, you ought to give a sermonette or a sermon on this. And I told her I would on the one, and thankfully I got to be at her baptism. And she was so excited. And we were excited for her. I think the Brewers were there. I think you were there, Nick. Was there anyone else? It was in Mr. Crady's basement, or in his lower level. But anyhow, she was just so excited. And she was just bubbling. And then she said, now I get to go to the feast. Now I want to go to the feast. I want to keep my first feast, and I want to keep the Passover next year. I hadn't seen that much excitement for years. But this lady knew that God had showed her the truth. And that's what God has showed you and I. And we must continue in our enthusiasm, because if we don't, Satan will step in. And we'll quit receiving the blessings of doing His will. The sad thing about Mary, she never got to go to the feast that year. And she never got to keep a Passover. But you know what? She did before she died. And that is what was important. She changed, and as soon as she got it, she'd complete her deal. When you get right down to it, she'd complete it, and God said, okay. So where is Mary going to be? She's going to be where? In the first resurrection. Absolutely. She'll be there because she'll be with bells on saying, oh, hot dog, here we are. You know, that's Jesus Christ. I always wondered what story looked like, you know. I can just see her in that enthusiasm because she was so excited. So we have God's feast days coming up, Passover. And the Passover is a time that we're really blessed, because you see, If God hadn't given his only son as our sacrifice, we wouldn't have the Passover. Because you see, we've all committed sin. And what's the penalty of sin? Death. Death. And Christ died for each and every one of us. And he did because God loves each and every one of us. And God has opened your mind and my mind that we can be first fruits in his kingdom, which puts more on our heads. Because you see, Satan would love to destroy each and every one of us. Because see, he hates God. And anyone who hates God will hate you and me if we love God and obey God. You and I every day have to realize there are two masters of this world. And we have to choose every day. Matthew 6:24, I won't turn to it, tells you will love the one and hate the other. You know? So we have to make sure that we don't get confused and become bait for Satan. That's why we have to keep our whole armor on at all times. When we have a little gap, we need to go pray and repent. Because that means part of our armor is missing if we commit a sin and we haven't repented. Well, God gives us that time right here every year that we can wipe our slate clean again. So we're coming upon that. It's going to be here in April. Passover will be on Sunday, April the 10th in the evening. And then we'll go right into Days Unleavened Bread. And why does he have us have the Days Unleavened Bread after Passover? To remind us of the sin to keep out of our lives. To remind us to keep the sin out of our lives. And every time we take a piece of that unleavened bread, and you hear the crunch, maybe you should think, if I don't keep the sin out of my life, I could be a crunch and die. I remember, I didn't have this on my notes, but anyhow, in God's word, I can't think of scripture right now, but it says, you remember when Christ said, Satan, get behind me? That was one of his apostles said something, and I forget the exact content, where it was at in the Bible, but I know about, but I don't know where, so I can't quote it. But anyhow, that's exactly what you and I need to be saying every day. Every time we have a problem, we should be saying, hey, Satan, get behind me. Because see, then you're still focused on God. Then we're still doing what God says and saying, you know, Satan, get away. I don't need you. And ask God for help to overcome whatever he's trying to do to us. God is always available because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. My sermon title is Listen and Hear Him. And for that, I want you to turn to Matthew 17:5. We'll go to verse 4 first. It says, Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, let us make the three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Because see, he was speaking God's word. Because that's what he was sent here to do. Hear him. And we have the word, God's Bible, so we can hear him every day of our lives. Make sure that we're doing as Mr. Barker said a few weeks ago, as we're preparing for Passover. We need to make sure we put in a little bit of extra more prayer, maybe fast, and do a lot of meditating because we need to self-examine ourselves. This is a time of year that we are able to get cleansed, and God will do that for us. Because you see, if we listen and hear Him and don't obey Him and do what He says, then we're not going to be what? Doers. Because if you don't know, if you're not convicted, you won't be a doer. And God says we are to be doers of His way of life. If we want to be in His kingdom. He has opened a spot for you and me to be in His kingdom. He has called each of us to be first fruits. But it's up to us. It's not up to Mr. Barker. It's not up to your wife. Not up to your husband. It's up to each and every one of us. Because you see, it's a personal thing between you and God and me and God. We can help each other, but we cannot make anybody do anything. And God knows that. Because He knows it has to be a personal conviction. And that's why we came into God's truth and was willing. A lot of people give up jobs. A lot of people give up families. A lot of people gave up careers. But you know what? They didn't think a thing about it. Because they believed what God says. If you obey, God will bless. He tells each of us to what? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things will be added to you. Which He means blessings. He means help. He means guidance. And what we say and do. Two great commandments mentioned in Mark 12:29. Don't turn there. You know it. It's what? To love God and to love our fellow man as ourselves. We have to learn to love God so we can love others. So let's go to Exodus 22. That's the original Ten Commandments. You can say that God is saying this to you and me. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Well, He didn't bring us out of Egypt. He did our forefathers, but He has brought you and I out of this world. And you know how you know it's a miracle? Because not everybody does it. Not everybody has that desire. Not everybody has been given the blessing of God of being called. But you and I have, and others. And we're a family. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He is a jealous God over each and every one of us. He doesn't want anyone taking you out of the family. He doesn't want you to leave us for any reason. He wants our family to stay tight, loving, and growing. And He has called each of us to be a part of that. Go back, I am the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. In other words, if they do something to you, God's going to make them pay for it. He doesn't forget. If you remember when the Israelites came out of Egypt, when they crossed over the Red Sea, and then they went and they started worshiping idols. Remember what God said to them? He said, you have done this 10 times since he took them out of Egypt. In other words, they had rebelled 10 times since they left Egypt on him. Now, he didn't hold against them, but he remembers how many times. But he forgave them because he loved them. He wanted to make them his people. But I remember when I'd read that, I don't know how many times over the years, and never dinged on me how important that was. Until I wrote out the 5 books of the law. I learned so much from that. A guy gave a sermon down in Pensacola, I believe it was. No, it was Gatlinburg. He said, if you want to do a good Bible study, if you want to learn a lot, you should write the 5 books of the law. He said, because all the kings had to write it. When you became king of Israel, you had to write down 10 books of the law, which weren't available only to the priest them at that time. But the kings had to write them out. So no king can say they didn't know God's law. Now, they may not have listened to it, and they may not have gone by it, and as we look back in the Old Testament, most of them didn't. But the point was, they turned their back on it. But see, God wanted them to know that you need to know these 10 laws. You need to know the laws that I have set up for Israel to make them, what? A great nation. And they kept rebelling. And as you know, with rebellion, Israel paid for it. They went into captivity many times. But he says, but showing mercy to thousands to keep those who love me and keep my commandments. And the third commandment is, you shall not take my name in vain of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Which is total disrespect. That's why he wouldn't put up with it. That's total disrespect. And then today we're keeping what he says. Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the Sabbath day of the Lord your God, in it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Covers a big territory, doesn't it? A lot of people have used that as an excuse why God's law is hard. Well, I can't work on the Sabbath, or I can't have my employees work. I have to close down. You know? But you know, there are a few people out there who do close down on what they think is the Sabbath. And you got to mire them, because Saturday or Sunday is a busy day for them on the weekend. But you know, God has blessed them and will continue to bless them, because God blesses anyone who takes and applies his law. Even though he may not have called them to this point, they understand that part of the law. A lot of people understand you're not to steal. A lot of people know different parts of the law and they keep it. But they haven't had their mind open like you and I have to understand it totally. And to realize that we must keep it. But you're held accountable for what you know. That's why being first fruits, you and I have a lot more to be accountable for. Because we can't say we never know or didn't understand. Because if we're here, I'd say most of us understand. Hopefully. If you've been baptized, I truly hope you understand. I hope that we all understand. And we need to make sure that we keep applying it. The fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving you. This is the first law with promise as a physical thing, because your days will be long if you honor the elderly, if you honor your mother and father. It doesn't just mean your mother and father, only it means the elderly. You pay respect to them. God will bless you for that. He says he'll give you a long life. And you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. All these are for our good. All these laws are for our good. Because if you don't murder, you don't have bad thoughts about people. Because we're in the New Testament, understand the laws, and they're spiritual and physical. And you'll have a better life. Because you know, sometimes we take for granted all the blessings that God has given us. And we say, oh boy, we were fortunate there. Or, man, we was lucky there. And we'll use you on this, Mr. Barker. I hope you forgive me for this. You won't. You will, I mean. Mr. Barker, I was talking to him last week, and when Luke had his wreck, Mr. Barker said something that reminded me of Mary. He wanted to tell everybody, God protected him. God took care of him. Look what God did. Because he should have been hurt. But he wasn't. I had the same feeling back in 1982. We came home from the feast, one of the best feasts I can remember at that time. And we were so excited, and the feast messages were just so good. We couldn't wait to get home and go over the feast notes together again. And at that time, I think E.T. was on when we left. It was at the Salem Mall. We lived up more at camp time. So we decided to go by there and say, what a good way to finish the feast. We'd stayed at Disney World for 3 or 4 days, you know, and the kids just had a great time. We had a good time. We got to go on their boats and stuff and all that. And we got to see the big Clydesdale and all the horses and stuff. We got to walk around all because we were campers. We couldn't afford to stay in nice motels, so we stayed as campers. But we probably had a wonderful time. It was just wonderful. And the feast had been great. So we said, that top off for the kids to watch E.T. because it's a new movie out of time. So we go by Salem Avenue, up Salem Avenue to go to Arcanum, where we would have taken 75 over to 70, up 49. Sure enough, 4 miles above Salem Avenue, or above the theater, we went by a theater. The movie was gone. We'd been gone 2 weeks, and probably been out a week or two before we left. So we keep on going. 4 miles later, some guy comes across the four-lane highway there, a strip for a car could fit, and my wife ran into him. We slid over and hit a steel pole. I was laying in the back, and threw me to the front, hit the back of a seat, knocked me out, hit the iron on the back of it. It was a conversion van we had. And so I woke up and there's smoke coming through the front windshield. I see we've hit a steel pole. My daughter was sitting in that seat. She was that far from that steel pole. Did not have a seatbelt on. My son, Kevin, was standing over the engine on a van and did not get thrown through the window. My wife, the car hit where she was at and brought the whole side in a fender well net, and her leg had fallen down through the wheel well, which split up. And later on, I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. I thought she just had a broken leg. She says, get him out. I can't get up. So the doors, it hit so hard, the side doors, the sliding doors were jammed, front doors were jammed. Glass dropped straight down. There was not a piece of glass broken in that van. Not a piece. We had some whiskey in the back end that had been opened and some stuff. It flew clear through the van. Never broke. Never broke. We didn't find out until 2 days later because when we went back to get the van. Because we're just interested in getting out. Not only that, there was people there almost immediately. It was probably around 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Immediately, people were there. I mean, I'm not talking one or two. I'm talking like 10, 15 people. Like, that road shouldn't even been used that much at that time of day. So we finally was able to get the back doors open and get everybody out. And I look at my wife, who couldn't get up. She kept trying to get up, couldn't. And I saw her go out the side window, just like that. Boy, I knew her leg had to be broke. But I said, well, they must have one of these thin boards under them. You know, they have these real thin boards they stick through. So I didn't get to see her because they took me out, put me in a strap, and made me lay down. So we all go to the hospital. Come to find out, my wife had slid down through that wheel well and had a 360-degree cut on her leg. Did not cut the vein, did not cut the artery, and did not cut your ligaments. She has a scar to this day and has no feeling around it. I remember being in the hospital and she said, the doctor tells me I could lose my leg for 10 years or 20 years. You know what my response was to her? I said, don't worry, honey. I said, God wouldn't allow you to keep it if he was going to take it away from you. I said, because he could have cut it right off on that. Would have scared her to death. And you know, in 6 months, my wife was back running with that leg. And ran until about 7 years, five to seven years ago, and she still walks. But she does have a little bit of trouble with it now, but not much. But it was hanging when they took her in. My daughter was so shook up. The guy said she'd like been in a washing machine and just bounced around. And they couldn't believe she didn't go through the windshield. They couldn't believe my son Kevin didn't go through the windshield. We're at the hospital for hours because my wife's in operations. And the guy comes in about 5 hours or 6 hours later who took us in the emergency. He walked up to me and he said, sir, three of your people should have been dead. He said, and maybe all six of you. You know what his next words was? I think somebody likes you. And I said, yes, sir, I agree. Now I want to go back. I digress. My wife going through the window, right? I figure they got a board. One lady took my wife out of that side window. One little lady. She's about 5'3". Why that leg wasn't hanging, dangling? Why wouldn't it? Because God helped, that's why. This little lady took her out, and she even called her the next day in the hospital, seeing how she was. She said, it was a religious experience for me. I usually do not stop and get involved in these things. Now, if any of you would like to tell me that there wasn't God's intervention, my wife said when she went out that window, she felt hands all over her. And I believe her. We all need to stop and think. And thank God. Thank God for our knowledge and our understanding. God has blessed each of you in different ways. And let's not take it that, oh boy, we were lucky there. Or that worked out. Because I've heard of other people tell stories. Barker's got theirs. Remember Bart a few years ago when his truck had that wreck and didn't hit that guardrail like it should have probably. He could have really been hurt. He wasn't. And I'm sure you have stories. The times that you could have been hurt or could have been killed. We have people who have been healed. Sometimes people say, well, you know, that was just that. That's what the world would say. Well, you were just lucky. No. You were blessed by the Almighty God. Let's make sure that when we receive blessings, small or great, we are saying every day, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for my calling. Because you're called to be king and priest. Each and every one of us are. Let's go on to thankful. Let's go to the 10 leopards in Luke 21. I'm going to have to hurry up, aren't I? Luke 21, verse 1. Whoop, wait a minute. I'm with the widow one. I'm sorry. 10 lepers, I'm sorry, is Luke 17. I'm sorry. Verse 11, I'm sorry. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. How many times have we asked God to have mercy on us? I know I have many times. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, which he saw that he had been healed, returned with a loud voice. I'm healed. Can you imagine being a leper? People can't go near you. Don't know how many years, but it doesn't make any difference. A leper's a leper. And when he saw he had been healed, returned with a loud voice, glorify God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And what does Jesus say? Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Let's make sure we're that one when it comes daily when we can thank our God for the blessings that he has given you and me. We're blessed to understand the truth. We're blessed to know the truth. We're blessed to know that we can keep Passover. And when we come out of there, we're clean. All of our sins are removed. Completely. That's why we must do our part. Thank God, praise God, and examine ourselves. We need to take care of that beam that we carry around with us at times. Of looking at ourselves and saying, what have I done? Have I done this? Is this pleasing to God? Have I said, Satan, get behind me? And God made him get behind you. And you walk straight. And you can say, thank you, God. I need that help. Help me fix my armor. For he saw something that he thought he could get me on. Satan never quits. Satan never quits. Back in Peter, it talks about, you know, he goes around as a roaring lion. And you've heard a story before about when the African people used to go around with spears and circle a lion. There'd probably be probably 30 or 40 of them. They have a big circle, and this lion would just go round and around and around. What was he looking for? He's looking for the weak link. He was looking for the weak link. Because that's the one he was going to pounce on, thinking he could get through. Let's not be a weak link in God's family. Let's love each other. Let's serve each other. And let's be a light to the world. Because that's what God has called you and me to do. At this time of year, help us to stop and think more about how blessed we have been. Because if you stop and close your eyes and you look back over your life, things that you thought were fortunate or I was lucky or, you know, maybe you better take a second look. Maybe God was preparing you to be called all this time into his family. And that's why you weren't killed in a wreck. That's why you weren't hurt really bad. That's why you were able to continue the path. And God opened the door for each of us. Because he called us. And he did not call us to fail. Let's be sure we finish the race that we've been called to go. Let's be sure that we don't tire. Let's be sure that we don't become a lead to sin. Because he says many are called, but few are chosen. And we are a part of that few. If you don't think about it, how big are we compared to the world's churches? We are minute. We are minute. But you know, that doesn't mean a thing with God. Doesn't mean a thing. Because see, he's the all-powerful God, and we have angels that can protect us, guide us, and strengthen us if we use God's power of prayer, obedience. We can hear, but we have to obey. We have to keep that forefront in our mind. And always say when we have a problem, God, get Satan behind me so I can see clearly where I'm going. So I can make good decisions. The decisions you want. Because see, we can get decision-making help out of the Bible. That's what it's here for. We are truly blessed. And sometimes we do take it for granted. You know, because you get accustomed to something. You know that things are going well and God has blessed you and done. But it only takes one thing to wake you up. I'll bet Mr. Barker and his family will have a whole lot more empathy for someone in a wreck now. I know I have a lot more empathy for people who's been in a wreck. Because I realize our life was messed up for 6 months or better. Because everything changed. My wife couldn't take care of the kids we had. She had two smaller ones. She couldn't take care of them. Her parents jumped in and come up and drove to Arcanum every day from Dayton. Took care of our kids. For 8 hours a day, they were at 8 o'clock in the morning. They were there to see the kids off school. And they stayed till I got home and had supper for them. For probably 3 months. At least two. I don't remember exactly, so I don't want to. But I know for at least two, because she had to cast on for a long time. Then she couldn't do anything after she had to cast off for a while. So, you know, I hope each of us will truly examine ourselves well as we prepare for God's holy Passover. And I hope each of us really are thankful for each week that we're able to be here on God's holy Sabbath day. This is God's day. This is not just a day. It's God's holy Sabbath day, just like his annual feasts are holy Sabbath days. It's holy time. And only God can make it holy. Think about that. Only God can make it holy. And he has us as his people. And he wants you and I to do our best and he will help us with the rest. But we have to do our part. You know, I watched a show here the other day, which is called the Shark Tank. Anybody ever here watch Shark Tank? Anybody seen it? I tape it, I'm sorry. I tape it and I can watch in about 25, 30 minutes. But anyhow, I never got into it till probably a few weeks ago. And I'm amazed at these sharks, but I'm amazed at the people that come in. Some of them come in and they have something in their mind and they won't relent on it. Now they're up asking for money to help them get something done, right? That's what they're there for. They're asking for money, saying, my idea is worth money and, you know, it'll make us rich. Some of these people come in with what they think their company is worth and they've got it 5 years down the road and they're taking $100,000 now and they're valuing it at $5 million or $6 million. And the sharks will tell them you way overvaluated your thing because you have nothing to back it up. You got $100,000 worth of business and you're telling me it's worth, you know, $5 million and you're wanting me to invest, we'll say, $200,000 to make it, which means they're valuing at least $2 million. And some of them value it to $5 million, they think. Which shows they've never been in business where you're asking for help. Have you ever went to a bank and told them how much you thought something was worth? And they said, no, your house is worth about da-da-da. And you go, really? My house is only worth that? You know? Well, that's all they're going to give you for it. Maybe worth more, but that's all they're going to give to you for. And that's the way a shark is. He's going to give you so much, hoping he's going to make a bunch of money on you. But anyhow, the thing I've noticed is that I've seen sharks, which is really surprising because some of them are pretty mean. And I've seen them by a story that someone gave of how hard they have worked, how much they put into it. And the one lady, I remember, I think it was last week I saw it, she was a black lady and she had a kid about 12 years old. And she was telling how that she was living in her car and her daughter was living in her car with her to keep this business going. And she'd been on people's in the wintertime, been in people's homes, laying on their floors. And they basically turned her down. And two sharks jumped in. She was only asking $50,000 for what she had. And she's willing to give them like 20% or something, whatever it was. But the point was, you know why they jumped in? Because that's how they had started. And they had mercy on that lady. And they were going to give her a chance. But they all basically said no. But when she finished telling her story, two of them jumped in. Well, the one jumped said, if you go half with me, I'll take her. If you'll give her so much money, I'll give her their half. I think it's $50,000. I'm not sure. But anyhow, it wasn't a whole lot of money compared to what a lot of them are asking. May have been only $25. I don't remember. But the point was, they had mercy. The other sharks couldn't believe it. You know, are you kidding me? Well, you see, that's what God has on you and me when we come before Him. When we say we're sorry, forgive me, help me, He says, I'm here. Take my hand, I'll guide you. And that was so good because I think that's probably one of the first times I've ever seen a shark be nice, really nice, unless they got the deal. I may be wrong, but it was really heart-touching because I started comparing it to our lives to a degree. But you see, another thing I love is you see the enthusiasm, the passion that they have on their product that they have come up with. You know what our product is? Eternal life. We have eternal life. Are you going to give it up for something physical? Are you going to give up now when we're so close? Let's never give up. Let's always turn to God and seek His mercy. Because God will have mercy on each and every one of us. And how blessed we are to have such a loving God. We need to be thankful. We need to take the beam out of our own eye and not look at others. There's only one person you and I have to please. and that's God the Father. But you know, if we're pleasing God the Father, we're going to have a mighty great resume of good traits. Because we're going to be kind, loving, merciful, because God's been merciful to us. We're going to be helpful. We're going to be the light that He has called you and I to be that He talks about in Matthew. We are to be the light to the world. And a light just doesn't happen. It has to be built. Has to be made. And that's what God has done with you and I. And if we continue to it, our light will get brighter and brighter. Because someday, the world is going to see God's children as they really are. And that needs to be each of us, along with all the others. So let's be thankful for the calling God has given us. Let's be thankful that we have each other here. Let's be thankful that we have Passover coming up. And let's come before our God, that He may be merciful to each of us, as He was and is, because He gave His Son, that we could have this opportunity to have our sins forgiven. You know, we need to fear the one who can destroy both physical and spiritual. And only God can do that. Everything in this world goes for naught. Because you see, the world is going to be so much better when God returns. If Israel would obey God and what He told them to do, they would have been so far, so great, and God would have protected them. But what they do, they turned on Him. And that's what we have to make sure we don't do. We have to make sure that we stay close to God through studying and prayer. And that we have to learn and continue to put God's traits in us and use them even more. Remember, Mr. McCray used to talk about the circle a lot. You know, you're in your comfort zone. You got to make the circle bigger and get out of your comfort zone. Because that's when you grow. If you sit back on your haunches, you can become Laodicean. And God says back in Revelation, He spews them out. Because they're not here. They're on the fence. And we don't want to be on the fence. None of us. God has chosen us to be on His fence, on His side, and totally a part of His family. So I hope that each of us, as we're looking in our lives, as we're preparing for the Passover and for Days Unleavened Bread, that we'll give God thanks that we're able to come before Him. And look back a little bit deeper in our lives and say, maybe I need to take a look at some of those things I thought was, happened, coincidences, Anyhow, you know what I mean. That you said, well, that boy, we was fortunate on that one. We missed that wreck. You know, I know people that got a 5-minute late start one time and missed a huge wreck. I remember a guy down here that missed a wreck, Mr. Ron Walters, going to the feast. He was stacked up in a bunch of cars going to the feast. Been a wreck. And here comes, I think you told me, semis up over the hill and he didn't have much time. And he has no idea how they missed him. Because he took out some other cars, right? But he got missed. Oh, that was just a coincidence. He was lucky, wasn't he? Oh, he was just a lucky guy. You know, hey. I don't think that's the way he took it, because when he was telling me about it, I think he was pretty happy. He thought he was going to die because he saw him coming, and he knew they couldn't stop. Our coincidences are things that God has protected us. And we need to realize that. And every time we say it, we should say, thank you, God. And make our prayers just that little bit more intense. Realizing the mercy that God has shown you and me. We are called to be in His kingdom. So that is our goal. Is to wind up in God's holy city, Jerusalem. With all of God's children. And we're going to be first fruits. Christ said He went to what? Back to prepare a place for us. It's not going to be in the homes like we live today. Because if you notice, everything about God is top notch. Better than any of us can even think of. And that's what He has for you and me. So let's be sure that we listen, we hear Him, and then we carry it on to obey Him and to be thankful for His love and mercy.